Hallelujah. I know school and things are taking a toll on folks, but I'm going to tell you something. You know, we've just got to get past that and got to realize God's got to be first.
Amen.
Amen. Get excited about the things of God. Hallelujah. Now, I want us to go over to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to go to verse 15. Very familiar scriptures for us. But I want to bring it out to you in the Amplified here. And Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, listen to what he says. He says in verse 15, "Look carefully then how you walk." Wow. Well, we could just stop right there and preach a while. Look carefully how you walk. See, as believers, there's a walk we ought to have. Come on now. And that walk means our lifestyle, right? How we're living our lives. As believers, when people see us, they ought to really know we're believers, right? Our cars ought not be at home on Wednesday night, Sunday morning. Come on now. Special services. Come on now. You know, our vehicles ought not be parked certain places. Some of the lewd places or what, right? Come on now. They ought to see our walk. When they see us in Walmart, they ought to see the glory of the Lord on us. Come on now, I know you're spending money and it's an aggravating place to be and all that, but that doesn't change who God is in your life. Come on, you ought not be one of those in the line that acts like a heathen. Come on now. He says, look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. We ought to be able to do that, right? Come on, now the world's lost its mind, but if anybody ought to be intelligent, it ought to be the church. I was talking with a guy yesterday, and he was talking around, doing some talking about the way things are going, like, you know, and he was talking about Trump, and then he was talking about, you know, Kamala and all that. And I said, well, I'm just going to tell you how I am, because I'm a pastor and I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God. I said, none of the personalities mean anything to me. You know, because that's what people do. They're looking at, you know, her and saying this and this, and they're looking at him and saying this and this. You know, I'm not for Trump or Kamala, but I am for the Word of God. And whoever will follow along those lines and have those principles, that's who I'll be for. Why? Because I have to be. Because that's who God's for. Come on, you can get mad at me about that if you want to. That's what I told him. I said, you know, I have to vote biblically. I can't vote based on how, whether I like somebody or don't like somebody. Come on now. It don't matter who's running. Who is closest to representing what God would represent? That's who I'm going with. I don't care if it's an independent or, you know, whatever. It don't matter. That ain't got nothing to do with it. It's all about somebody that will get our country back to biblical principles again. Come on, to get us away from all this foolishness that's going on. So we ought to be sensible, intelligent human beings. Amen. Now, I know, like I said, the world's crazy, but we're not. Verse 16, he says, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Do you know a lot of people don't know or have a clue what the will of the Lord is? You could ask them, what's the will of the Lord for your life? And they'll just say, oh, I don't know. Well, you know, again, God's Word is God's will. So if you want to see what the will of God is for your life, look at the Word. And you'll find the will of God for your life, because what God says here is what He wants for you. Amen. What He says you can have in here, it belongs to you. What He tells you to do in here, that's what you should do. And if you do the Word, then God's will be perfect in your life. Amen. So a lot of folks don't even understand that. Verse 18, it says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that's debauchery, but ever be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Notice that. Not just filled, but stimulated. Did you hear what I just said? Not just filled, but stimulated. A lot of folks are filled, but they ain't stimulated. Do I need to give somebody an example of stimulated? If I do, we'll go get us an extension cord, cut the end of it off, plug one into the wall, and we'll stimulate you. Come on. Now, that's stimulated, right? What's going to happen when you touch both ends of that naked wire? You're going to squall. You're going to scream. You're going to jump. Right? Why? Because you just got stimulated. The church needs to be stimulated. We're sitting around like a bunch of dead folk and we ain't got nothing to be dead about because the greater one's living on the inside of us. We're alive through the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. And so we got to understand that. So he says, you know, don't get drunk with wine. That's just debauchery. That's just foolishness. He says, you need to be filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. He says, speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praises with voices and instruments, and making melody with all your heart to the Lord, at all times, for everything, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Notice that all times and at everything. What's that mean? That means when you're having a day like Stephanie's had, you still got to praise Him anyway. Come on, giving thanks to the Lord. Well, you know, He got her here. She didn't run over Stephanie. Come on now. She didn't want to do a lot of damage to her, to the principal's car. Come on. See, that's something to get excited about. Some of us, we're just like, well, you know, that's part of my business. No. Come on. See, God is working all things together for good to them that love and serve Him. So we've got to realize, even when we're having a bad day, God's still working on our part. Now, we love the good days, right? We love it when everything's going great in our life and when things are just turning out, it's just hunky-dory, everything's rosy. But when things are bad, you know, that's the time we ought to be thanking Him the most. Because ain't nobody can help us but Him, right? He's the one that brings you out of the miry clay. He's the one that sets your feet upon the solid rock. Come on, somebody. So you've got to get excited about the good times are great. But in those bad times, we're still giving thanks to God in everything. Now, here's something that the Lord just spoke to me. He said, believers cannot live their lives haphazardly. I mean, you know, and that's not a word I use much, but it just, a matter of fact, I wasn't even sure it was a word that was proper English. I had to get on there and Google that to make sure haphazardly was a word that you could use. But that's what I heard. He said, believers can't live their lives haphazardly. Here's what he said. He said, there's too much at stake for us to misrepresent the kingdom of God. See, because we're God's representatives, right? Come on, we're ambassadors for Christ. We're representing the kingdom. How are you representing Him? See, when folks look at our lives, are they looking at our lives and seeing Christ in us, the hope of glory? Or are they looking at our lives and seeing shipwreck like theirs is? See, it's hard to win somebody to Christ if you don't look like you're living a better life than they are. Come on now. You see, most of the time, the way people get other people to do stuff is they look like they're having a good time at it. Isn't that right? That's why a lot of folks drink. That's why a lot of folks do drugs. Come on. That's why a lot of folks get out here and be promiscuous as far as relationships go and that kind of thing. Because the people that are doing it act like they're just having the best time that ever was. And these people, they're like, well, I'm missing out on this. I got to be on this thing. The only difference is they're into the dark side. They're into ungodliness. What if a Christian would start acting like we're having such a good time? Come on, what if we started acting like the world acts on Saturday evening? Come on, don't understand where I'm coming from. Saturday afternoon, the world's getting excited. They're getting antsy, right? Come on now, go over there and watch the car wash. Everybody running their cars through the car wash. They're shining up their vehicles because it's Saturday night. They're getting ready to partay. Come on now, they're going to get out, and they're going to run around, they're going to have a big time. They might not know what they did the next morning, but they're going to do something. And they're excited about it. The church ought to be the same way. Did you hear me? We ought to be out on Saturday night shining up our cars and getting ready because next morning is church morning. Come on, next morning is worship morning. I'm going to my Father's house. And I'm going to go party. And I'm going to have a good time. And I'm going to get high on new wine. Come on, somebody. I'm going to get high on the Holy Ghost. I'm going to come home and I'm going to be refreshed and renewed. And I'm going to feel good because I've been in the presence of God. Come on now. You know, you can tell the ones that lay out on Saturday night, they can't get up on Sunday morning. Right? Even the church folk, same way. Come on, but you get around, they feel bad. When people get around us after we've been out on Sunday morning partying, they ought to know we've been to church. They ought to say, we ought not come be coming in. Well, I tell you, if it went another 5 minutes longer, I'd just going to get up and leave because I just think it just preached too long. Come on now. See, that's the way the church acts a lot. But that's not how a believer ought to act. Come on, we got a good example in the Word of God of what people that are hungry for the Word of God will do. Remember, Peter preached all night. Come on now, we know that was it Eutychus that fell asleep and fell out of the loft and he had to raise him from the dead, but they didn't let that stop the church service. Come on, he raised him from the dead, went right back to preaching again. Come on. See, why? But they were hungry for the Word. They were excited about the things of God. If we're not careful, we're letting the world be more excited about the world than we are about our Jesus. And the world's going to hell and we get to go to heaven. Amen. So in everything, we can't just live our lives haphazardly. We have to make sure that we're being an example to this lost and dying world. They have to see that the God life is better than the world life. We have to be showing that to them. Look over here in 1 Timothy. I've been dancing all over it. But here's what Paul says to Timothy. He says in chapter 4, look at verse 12. He said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." Notice that. Be thou an example of the believers. How am I supposed to do that, Paul? Well, I'm going to be an example of the believers in word. In other words, how I talk. When people hear me talk, they're not going to hear profanity coming out of my mouth. Come on, they're not going to hear vulgar coming out of my mouth. Come on now. They're not going to hear things that are indecent coming out of my mouth. Right? He says, be an example in word, in conversation. Now, this is the manner of life or your lifestyle. It's not talking about, the first one is talking about the way that you talk. The second one's talking about the way that you live. Same thing. People are to see our lifestyles and see that we're not living like the world. We're different. Come on now. Because he says we've got to come out from among the world, right? And be separate. So he says, you be an example of a believer in your lifestyle. In your love, he says, you need to be an example of the believer. What's that mean? That means you love when somebody don't love you. Amen. You still love people. There's some folks that I'd like to choke, but I still love them. Come on. I know you feel the same way. You know, you want to try to get them, but You just have to love them. You still have to pray for them. You have to just stand and believe God for them. Amen. Isn't that better than getting mad at them, wanting to fight all the time? Come on now. The Bible says that we're to love our enemies, right? Amen. I know that's hard for us, but he says that's the way we're an example of a believer, is in our love. And then notice in spirit. Be an example of the believers in spirit. What's that mean? You ought to be the first one to jump up and start shouting. You ought to be the first one to take off running. Come on, you ought to be the first one to begin to praise God. That's being an example of a believer. I got the Spirit of God on the inside of me. So if I've got the Spirit of God on the inside of me, then it ought to be easy for me to be an example in spirit. Amen. See, but a lot of times we come in and we act like we don't have any spirit in us. Right? Come on, we come in sometimes and just act like we just don't have anything to praise God about. Just don't have anything to be happy about, nothing to get excited about. We're born again children of God, heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, on our way to heaven. Amen. That's who we are. That thing sounds like it's popping some, but I don't know if it's me or something else popping. Is it me? It is me. Okay. Maybe that'll stop it right there. But we need to be those examples. No, now let me go on just a little bit. He says, not only in spirit, but in faith. In faith. Come on, we're a word of faith church. If anybody's going to operate in faith, we better. Come on now. You know, a lot of folks don't even know how to operate in faith. But you've been taught. You know how to operate in faith. You know what the Word says. You know how to stand on the Word. You know how to believe and confess and act on what you believe. He says, you be an example of that. Now, I understand that a lot of folks don't understand. They're going to misinterpret the way you act. But that's all right. Let them misinterpret. They don't know. Pastor Rhett and I were talking about, I got a friend on Facebook. I'm friends with him on Facebook. Went to school with him, but he and I are polar opposites. And he's all the time saying stuff. And Pastor Rhett says, well, why don't you just get on there and just set him straight? And I said, because he's one of those that don't know that he don't know. So I said, I'd just be casting my pearls before the swine to get on there and get anything started. So I just, you know, I just love him and have to pray for him and all that, you see. But there are those that just, they just don't know that they don't know. And when it comes to being in faith and knowing what it means to be in faith and how to operate in faith, people think you're crazy. Now, I've come to the point, okay, Pastor Ed and I have discussed it, but I've come to the point now that I got to do something about speaking to the storms. I do, you know. I mean, it's been all summer long. And every time the storm's coming through, I'm speaking to the storms and say, you can't hurt my property, you flood, you can't get out of the banks. And I'm telling it what it can't do. And so what's it do? It goes around me. And I need some rain now. And I told Pastor, I said, you're praying that rain. You need to tell it can rain. And I told her, I said, well, when I'm telling the storms they can't damage my property and they're going around, that means it must have been going to try to damage my property. And so now I'm going to have to get in there, though, and start rephrasing because I need the rain now. Come on now. Come on. It was Elijah that prayed for it to rain and it didn't rain. And then he prayed and it rained. Come on. And see, what I'm saying right now, for folks, they just think it's crazy. They just think it's crazy. But my garden didn't get blowed down this year. Come on, I haven't been damaged. Come on now. You can watch it. Brother Scotty's discussed it. He and I have discussed it. You can watch and see the storms coming. And when it starts getting our area, it just starts going. Get it down here, get it up here, and it's not. Now you can say, well, that was going to do that anyway. I know better. I have faith. And I'm using my faith. Now I'm using my faith for getting some rain. Because we need some rain. Things are pretty dry. You know. But what I'm saying is that's foolishness to people that don't understand faith. It's foolishness for you to believe in the impossible. But Jesus said, if you can believe, the impossible is possible to you. And see, even folks that are even Christians, they don't get it. They don't know how to be in faith. But he told Timothy, he said, you be an example of the believer in faith. Show them how faith works. And that's what if they don't know, we have to show them. And to be an example of it is the greatest thing you can do. Right? I think I told this before. I'm pretty sure I did. But I was helping one time work on a dollar store down in Menifee County. I guess it was Menifee County, down in Big Woods, whatever that's called down there. And we were trying to paint the outside of the building. And it came, here's this big storm coming. And we're out there trying to paint the outside. How many know you can't paint outside if it's raining? Right? So I just walked outside and I said, in the name of Jesus, storm, you cannot rain. You have to stop till we get the building painted. And there was a guy standing there and he heard me say it. He looked at me kind of funny. I walked back in the building and I was doing something in there. And a few minutes, that guy comes and said, hey, come here, come here, come here, come here. I said, what is it? He said, come out here. He said, look, the sun's a shining. We painted the building. Got it done. And then it rained. Now, you see, you can say, well, it was going to do that anyway if you want to, but I know better. I know that faith works. Come on. And faith works in every area. Come on. You see, and that was just being an example of what God can do. And He knows now. He's come a long way for just us talking about different things and learning more about faith and standing in faith. Listen, folks, you've got to stand in faith for your finances. Did you hear me? You've got to stand in faith for your healing. Come on, your health. Come on. You've got to stand in faith for your family. Every night, I pray for you guys. Every night, I speak blessing over you guys, that all goes well with you and favor and blessing comes to you. Why? Because I believe it. I believe when we speak it out of our mouth, God hears it. When He hears it, He honors the word of faith spoken. So you and I need to be those examples. Our families need to see us standing in faith and being examples in faith. Now let's go on just a little bit. And then he says impurity. In other words, once again, that lifestyle, that chaste lifestyle, you're not into all this, you know, sexual immorality and all that stuff. We're living our lives the way we should live them as children of God. And that's what he's telling him to do there. He says, so you live it that way. And he goes on and says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Notice that. How I be an example, I give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. See that? In other words, I'm going to make sure that I keep myself studied up so that I can help. That exhortation means I'm helping somebody. I'm encouraging somebody. And I'm encouraging them with the Word of God. Right? Then he goes on and he tells him, he says, neglect not the gift that's in thee, which was given to thee by prophecy, with the laying on my hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting, notice this, that thy profiting may appear to all. People are going to see when God's blessing you. When God's good to you, people are going to see it. He says, take heed to thyself, to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Notice that. You see, being an example of the believer is not just for you. It benefits you, but it also benefits those that hear us, those that see us, those that are around us. I like being around other believers that believe the Word of God. Amen. That believe that God wants me blessed and wants me to have an abundant life, wants me to have good. I'll be honest with you, I like being around givers. People that like to give, because that's some of the most joyful people you'll ever be around in your life. Why? Because they know that their giving is getting them blessed and that they just love God so much, they don't care. You get around giving people, you'll be around loving people. Amen. Because they're not in love with the stuff. They're in love with Jesus and they want to be believers and they want to do what the Word of God says. Now, I wrote this down and I think it's pretty true. Many unbelievers judge the church by the deeds of those that call themselves believers. Did you hear what I just said? Many unbelievers judge the church by those that call themselves believers. Just because somebody calls themselves a believer does not necessarily mean they're a believer. Actions speak louder than words. Come on, folks. There's all kinds of folks that say they're Christians and say they love the Lord. But if you look at their example, if you look at their lifestyle, what kind of fruit are they bearing? What is the joy of their life? What's the main? What are they after? Are they after God or are they after the world? And it's obvious that most people are after the world. Even a lot of the church. Amen. You can see it. And it's pretty apparent. So we have to be careful that we're not one of those that somebody else is watching our lives and saying, well, you know, if they're going to heaven, I sure ain't got no problem. I'll definitely go. Right? Now, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul talks about his example. We'll jump over here. Chapter 2, look here at verse 10 here. Chapter 2 and verse 10. He says, you are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his children, that you would walk worthy of God who have called you into his kingdom and glory. Notice that. He says you are examples of or witnesses of the way we behaved ourselves when we were around you. And we said we did this so that we could be an example, so that you could see it. Let me give you another scripture here where he talks about being an example. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look at verse 6. He says, but now when Timotheus came unto you, and I need to go to 2 Thessalonians. I'm sorry, I'm still in 1 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition that he received of us. In other words, if he's not living the life that I preach to you, if he's not living the life of the gospel, he says, withdraw yourself. It matters who you hang with. It matters who you hang around. Amen. They'll rub off on you whether you realize it or not. Sometimes you just have to separate yourself, withdraw yourself. Amen. If you really want to live for God and you want to walk, work for God and be what God wants you to be, sometimes you got to withdraw. He said, for you know yourselves how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Now, what did Paul just say? Paul just said, listen, you've been around us, you've seen our lifestyle, you saw that we even sacrificed. We even worked, toiled day and night, so nobody could say that we were sponging off of you. Did you notice that? He says, we did this so that we could be an example and not give anybody anything to say about, well, you know, they're just hanging around here because we're taking care of them. He said, no, we wanted to be an example to you so that you could receive the word of the Lord and know that it was God. Aren't you glad that you can be an example of a believer to somebody and they know it's God? They know it's not just you. Amen. That's what I want people to see my life and know this ain't Mike. It's God in Mike. Amen. Because Mike didn't behave like this. Come on. Now, he wasn't such a bad person, but he sure wasn't who he is now. Come on now. At one time, Mike was worldly, but now he's godly. Come on now. At one time, Mike was without the Spirit, but now I have the Spirit living in me. So it's God in me, the hope of glory. And when people look at me, I might look the same, but I'm a different person because I've been born again. I've become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I realize what my rights and privileges are in the Word of God and in the Kingdom of God. I know who I am in Christ. And because I know that, I can be now an example of a believer. And so you can too. Now in Colossians, Paul tells us, he says, I want you to walk worthy of your vocation that you're called in. What's he mean? He says, I want you to walk worthy of the fact that you're a child of God, that you're a Christian. Colossians chapter 1, verse 7 through 14. There you can read it. Because he talks about how that we've been translated, and we love this scripture, out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. And he says, so you've been translated and I want you to walk worthy of this call. A lot of Christians are not walking worthy. When you see them, it's almost like they are not appreciative of the fact that Jesus Christ died for their sins. They're not appreciative of the fact that they don't have to go to hell. They get to go to heaven now. They're not excited about the fact that they're children of God in the family of God. Church, we need to be excited about who we are. Excited about the fact that we're born again children of God on our way to heaven. Think about that. Let me just give you something to ponder on. Okay? The one that created everything. The one that raised Jesus from the dead. The one that hovered over the earth when the earth was void and without form. The Holy Spirit that moved when God spoke. That creative power of God is living on the inside of you. Come on, think about that just for a minute. The power that created everything is living in you. Come on, think about that. If He could move on the face of the earth and create everything, what could He do if He could move in you? Come on. And a lot of times, see, He is bound by us. Do you realize that? Come on, He's a gentleman. He's not going to do anything you don't allow Him to do. He's not going to say anything you don't allow Him to say. He's not going to act in a way that you don't allow Him to act. Come on now. The Holy Ghost is captive in our bodies. And He wants us to express ourselves, or He wants to express Himself through us. Come on. That's the power of God that created everything that wants to express Himself through you. So He says, we need to be walking worthy of this thing and realize, you know, I mean, anybody watch any of the Marvel superhero things? We got a bad audience here. We just got about 4 people that watch it. But anyway, superheroes walk around knowing that they have a superpower. So they walk around, they're not afraid of anything. They're not afraid of anybody because they realize they have a power in them that they can overcome any enemy. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Come on now. You are super Christians. Come on now. You're walking around with a power on the inside of you that is able to overcome any enemy that would try to do anything to you. Come on now. You know, was Superman, what do you have, laser beam eyes or something like that? And then super strength, he was indestructible. So are you. Come on. The Holy Ghost lives on the inside of you. You need to start being an example of what God can do in a believer that believes. We need to be walking worthy of this thing. Not just glad we're saved, but excited about the fact that we get to represent the kingdom of God here on this earth. Because that's what Christians are supposed to be doing. Now, the Bible goes on in Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm trying to summarize some so I don't keep you too long. But it talks about how that we're all members of the same family. One God, there's one body, one spirit, one baptism, all part of just one family. Church, if we'll come together as the family, come together in one mind and one accord. We know what happens when that happens, right? Read Acts chapter 2. You find out when you get in one mind and one accord, things happen. Right? The Holy Ghost fell, came in, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And then you get over in Acts chapter 4 over there, and you know, the place gets shaken again because they get in one mind and one accord, and they're calling out to God. Church, as believers, If the Bible says if any two can agree on earth is touching anything, it'll be done for them of the Father. What would happen if the church came together as believers and started coming together in agreement? And we started standing strong. If the church would get together and start believing God and standing with one voice and one accord and coming against all the enemy that's out there that's trying to destroy us. If we'd start pulling down the strongholds. Come on, if we'd start standing against a lot of the evil that thinks it can have its way with us. I'm telling you, we'd see things change. We'd see our families change. We'd see a lot of the stuff that people are saying, well, this is just, you know, times have changed now. No, people have changed. People have changed. Not times have changed. There was I don't know if you all saw this morning or not, another tragedy, another school shooting, 4 people dead, 2 kids, 2 teachers, 9 others injured, and then a bunch injured because they were trying to get away, all that going on. And they were sitting there talking about it, and it rung a bell with me. You know, because they were talking, of course, again, it was a gun that did it. You know, it wasn't a 14-year-old boy, it was a gun. You know, and some of them began to talk, and it rung a bell with me because I grew up with guns in the house. I grew up, and we knew what the guns were used for. They were used for hunting and protection. Come on. See, I'm just telling you that it's not that the world's changed. It's people have changed. You know, when I knew I was going to go hunting, Dad and I, we were going to go rabbit hunting the next morning. What we did, even the dogs knew what the gun was for. Because if we, you know, back then you just let your dogs just ran loose. Nobody put them, everybody's dog was just running loose. Our beagles ran loose. And so they might get out and start running the rabbit in the night or whatever, not be around the next morning. So all we had to do was just set a gun on the front porch. That's back in the days you could have set a gun on the front porch and didn't have to worry about somebody stealing it. Okay? But all we had to do is set a gun on the front porch. And when we get up the next morning, those beagles would be laying there beside that gun ready to go hunting. But what I'm trying to say is we were brought up and we were taught what a gun was used for. Come on now. And now they're saying, well, where are these kids getting their hands on? I'll tell you where they're getting their hands on them. It's because gangs are raising the kids and parents are not raising the kids and parents are not taking the time to educate their kids. A gun can't kill anybody. Come on. It'll sit in a closet. It'll sit in a safe. It'll sit in a drawer. Wherever you put it, it'll stay right there and it won't kill nobody. Because it ain't guns that does it. You see, you know, you all know me. I've grown up a hunter and a fisherman and all that, you know. And when it comes to those in sports and that kind of things, you know, people kind of went to extremes. And it was a time, I went through a transition. You know, when I first started deer hunting, I hunted with a gun. Okay, but then after a while there, I got to thinking about it, and I thought, you know, I've got a gun here that is pretty well, if I can see a deer, I can shoot it because I got a scope on here, and I can kill that deer. There's not really a big challenge to it. Okay, now, I know some of you looking at me because it's harder to kill a deer than what you think, but so I went to a bow. Okay, now a bow was a little different. You had to get close and personal. Okay, and it took a greater amount of skill and all that kind of thing. But I never did get past the bow stage. I killed deers, and you know I've had them be whatever. And whether you like hunting or not, that's up to you. It don't matter. I liked it and still enjoy it some, but I like to fish better, and it's a lot easier on me now. Okay, it's a lot easier to crawl into a boat than it is to crawl up a tree. And I've been in some pretty shaky trees before. Pretty sketchy trees and hanging in places, you know. I've tied myself off in a tree and sat there and sleep and all kinds of things, you know. But what I'm bringing with a point here. Others have taken it to the next level. Now it's not just somebody in a tree with a bow. Now they went a little farther and they stand in a tree now with a spear. And they're waiting and they're going to throw a spear. And they're killing deers and buffalo and all kinds of things. And, you know, bear. And I'm like, man, you know, I didn't get that far. Okay. But the reason I'm saying all this is the gun would kill a deer. Okay. But I had to do the shooting. Okay. The bow would kill a deer. But I had to do the shooting. The spear will kill a deer. But it takes somebody to throw that spear. So it's not the weapon that does the killing. It's whoever controls that weapon that does the killing. So if you want to fix something, you take away the attitude and the mentality of the person that's doing the shooting or the killing. And that can only be done through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that? We've got to get the world back to Jesus so that they realize they're loving one another instead of hating one another. Come on. A 14-year-old. I don't know what he's been through, but we need to pray. We need to pray for him. Come on. Yes, that's somebody that needs to be prayed for. We need to be praying for these families. We need to pray for this whole situation. Jesus needs to be loosed in the schools again. Amen. Come on now. But he'll never be loosed unless we begin to be examples of believers so that our kids can be examples of believers, and then it starts to change things. We have to make up our mind to put God first, get our country back where it needs to go. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, bless you, and praise you, God.